Welcome to the Today's Leader podcast. Building tomorrow's best leaders today.
Way to go, guys. Way to go. Keep it going. Good job, guys. All right, Paul. I see you. All right, finish off.
And it's my pleasure to welcome to the Today's Leader podcast, Building Tomorrow's Best Leaders Today. Please welcome Tom Hardison from the Generative Leadership Group. How are you this afternoon where you are, Tom?
I'm doing really well. It's finally summertime. I know, a juxtaposition with you. And thank you for inviting me to speak with you today, Tom.
It's my pleasure. And we're talking about something that, in all honesty, I have not heard of before, so I'm really excited and curious to find out more about it. But first, let's start with share the Tom Hardison story with our listeners.
Sure. I grew up moving constantly, seemed like, about 15 times before I went to college. My dad, civil engineer, building dams and pipelines, so I love building things that last. I also spent a lot of summers farming, growing avocados and lemons with working with my grandparents. So just learning how do we cultivate ecosystems that foster growth and produce things. And then I went to school and studied industrial engineering, managing high technology organizations, and then spent 28 years at Hewlett-Packard. And had a wonderful time, set of learning experiences there, and then left HP to go out and figure out what was next in my life and my career, and got into coaching and leadership development and really focus on helping people generate leadership for themselves with their teams mm-hmm. and their organization to really add value to the clients they serve.
As I mentioned, generative leadership is a term that I haven't heard of previous to meeting with yourself. Help me understand what it means and what it relates to in terms of leadership.
Sure. Often when we speak of leadership, a lot of the focus on leadership has been on individual leaders. Generative leadership really is about how do we generate leadership in an organization, in a broader system. So includes leaders, includes teams, includes how you scale leadership as an organization scales to grow a business.
Yeah.
And how do you do that in a collective way so that you have a cohesive way of organizing and facilitating the leadership that's needed within a system, up, down, across?
Where did the idea come from, and what were you seeing out there in business or industry that created the impetus for you to focus in on this concept of generative leadership?
Sure. It probably first came from my experiences at Hewlett-Packard, and how do you, in a rapidly changing industry, which technology was when I joined in the early 1980s, how do you scale the capacity that you need in multiple product categories? How do you do that selling to many different types of customers? How do you do that when you are in a combination of software, hardware, and components businesses? So it really was a capability that Bill and Dave invested in throughout their business career on how do you develop the leadership necessary, a leadership system that could enable the business to grow.
So it's more than just having like a style of leadership for an organization. It's more than that, I'm taking it, because in each and every function of the business and for each and every customer of the business, there's probably a need to be incredibly adaptable as a leader and adapt your style to deliver the best potential outcome. So it's more than just style?
It is more than just style. So When I help leaders begin to build their generative leadership capacity, it's first learning, how do we lead our own selves?
Yeah.
How do we see, how do we move from operating unconsciously, which I've heard you talk about in your podcast, to operating from a conscious leadership capacity? So how do we become observers of ourselves and learn more about how I as a leader operate, what holds me back, what gets in my way, what some of the capabilities are, strengths I have I can build upon? And then, how does that affect those around me? And then, how do I build teams that can innovate and adapt together so that the team is stronger than just one leader?
Mm. It sounds like it has some real capacity to impact organizations. So what are some of the challenges that an organization would potentially have that would trigger the thought to bring someone like yourself in to help them with the problems? What are some of the challenges that organizations face?
Well, they begin to run into situations where people are more focused on managing and managing tasks, managing problems, and they're beginning to miss the market changing. They're beginning to miss that the people capacity that they have today is not growing to meet the needs.
Yeah.
And that they may be operating from historically we've had developed a command and control hierarchical management system. Goes back to Taylor in optimizing the best possible way to do a specific task. And then the Sloan School of Management of central decision making is the best way to allocate resources and get things done. Well, in rapidly moving environments, much like we've seen in almost any industry over the last 3 years, the ability to adapt comes from any part of the organization, figuring out what the most critical needs are, and then beginning to come up with solutions that serve those needs, and then communicating that effectively across the organization so that things can align and adapt across an organizational system. So organizations that feel stuck, that feel stymied, where people begin to disengage and say, you know, time for me to go, and they have high turnover rates because they're not adapting to both employee needs and customer needs in a way that opens up the creativity of all the employees.
Yeah, so it's creating a decision-making model that is best suited to rapidly changing decision-making. It's removing the focus around the CEO or the person sitting in the chair to be the sole purveyor of all decisions. And I'm taking that there's a fair bit of emotional intelligence work that is created within that particular model so that the leaders at all levels are becoming very much aware of themselves and how they built great teams. Am I picking up on those little snippets correctly?
You're picking up on a lot of the snippets. It's how do we do it in a systemic way? So one of the key pieces to me is the work that Peter Senge put together in the fifth discipline on how do you create a learning organization where you can learn and adapt to the needs that you're seeking to serve, and that it's about people developing the collective capacity to accomplish what they're trying to do, leveraging the strengths of all the people in the organization.
Yeah.
And that does take emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
It also takes self-awareness of where do I get in my own way and where do I get in the way of the people around me.
Yeah.
And it takes seeing us as these complex adaptive organisms that we as human beings are. And then when you put several of us together, I can cultivate an environment that helps us work better together.
Yeah.
But I can't do it all by myself.
Yeah.
It takes us creating it together.
So it's systematic, it's flexible, it's agile, and it's collective. So
yes.
It sounds fascinating. You must get so much excitement working with organizations and helping them work through this. What are some of the success stories that you've seen when organizations have embraced? Yeah, you mentioned the word collective a couple of times there while you've been talking. And so what are some of those successes that you've seen in relation to that concept of like the collective leadership culture?
Well, so one example is an organization I was working in, and we had a good foothold, and we were being threatened by a competitor coming into the market that had a name from a different perspective and might be perceived as a brand that people would prefer to work with.
Okay.
And so as an organization across all the different functions, we needed to begin to think about what could we do to differentiate? What was our unique contribution that we had to bring? And how could we go about through product development, through sales and marketing, through our supply chain, through our service and support, all of the various functions, how could we differentiate what we were offering in a way that customers would prefer to work with us and use this competitive entry as an opportunity to propel what we offered in a unique way? So that was very energizing because here's an opportunity to, well, you could worry about it or you could use it as an opportunity to reinvent, to refocus, and to leverage all the strengths in a new way to make a difference.
Yeah. So in many ways, that was in relation to a competitive pressure, and I guess a lot of organizations are feeling that in relation to things like disruption of industry, disruption of, the marketplace, supply chain is incredibly fractured at the moment. So we're seeing challenges right throughout the, through many, many industries. The benefit of being part of, that collective leadership culture in such a fragmented business space that we have at the moment, in your eyes, would be what? What is the advantage for a leader to say, with everything else that's going on, I really need to create a leadership culture within my organization that's going to help us adapt and confront some of the challenges that we have. So how would you phrase, say, I suppose, the elevator pitch for why they need to create a collective leadership culture?
Yeah, I think the most important need is the challenges are bigger than any one person can grapple with all by themselves.
Yeah.
So it takes a shared learning. It takes multiple perspectives. And we can accomplish that when we choose to focus on how can we be better together.
How can we be better together? I like that concept. So today's leaders is all about a program where we want people to own their development, own their growth, so that they can be part of tomorrow's best leaders. And I think I use the word collective when we're talking about today's best leaders. It's a collective of spirit. It's a collective of mindset. So what are some of the traits that you see that leaders need today more than any other time in history so that they can be one of that they can be the best leader that they can be?
Yeah. So to me, it's a capacity that we all need to develop, and it's a lifelong practice of self-observation.
Mm-hmm.
How am I showing up as a leader? What reactive patterns are operating unconsciously within me that I often don't know about or I'm not aware of, that others can help me see better than I can see myself? And then how do I begin to learn to observe those reactive patterns? We all have them. Yeah. We develop them as we grow up, as we go to school, as we get into the workforce. And those reactive patterns have strengths, but they can also, when overused, hold us back from creatively collaborating to create better outcomes.
Mm.
Because we may feel like, oh, I need to take control, or no, this isn't safe. I'll just do whatever I need to do to comply. Or this is dangerous. I got to protect myself, or I got to protect my team.
Yeah.
Those kinds of reactive patterns can hold us back.
Mm. Yeah. So that ability to be able to reflect on ourselves and observe ourselves in action, and to be mature enough to be able to, and courageous enough in so many ways to be able to ascertain what works, what doesn't work, and what we should be punting and what we should be embracing. So that's interesting. That's really critical for leaders. So when we talk about leaders and then their capacity to lead themselves, which is always, to me, one of the fundamentals that a leader has to do first. They have to be a great leader of themselves. How do they then take that and build great teams, Tom?
Yeah, I think that the first step is creating a safe space for conversation. Amy Edmondson has done a lot of work around psychological safety, and it's just making it safe for people to be seen, to be heard,
yeah,
to be understood, and to be accepted. And when we create safe spaces and begin to listen to hear other people's stories, as you do in your podcast, then it builds trust.
Mm.
And from that environment of trust and the telling of what true experiences are for each of us in our lived experience, the truth from our own perspectives begins to emerge, and we begin to learn from each other.
Mm.
And from that, the opportunities arise to begin to create new opportunities together.
Mm. Mm. Trust being a really important foundation in building teams and getting the most out of people. It's interesting. My wife and I have sort of been conned ourselves into watching the latest rendition of Big Brother over here in Australia. And I've never, ever got into Big Brother. And this is the first time that I've actually done it. And just the backstabbing and the lack of trust and the lies that get told just to progress in a game, there's no strong characters on that particular show. So I find it a fascinating contrast to what great leaders should be doing to build teams. And then you're seeing the manipulation, the lying, and everything within that reality TV segment. And I get it. It's a show. It's entertaining. But I would really struggle in that sort of an environment. So I bet you didn't think you'd be talking Big Brother when you came on the podcast, but there we go.
That's one of the exciting things about conversation.
Yeah.
Things show up that we didn't expect.
Yeah. But I guess it's relative in some organizations. There's politics, there's manipulation, there's backstabbing. And in those organizations, that's almost an accepted part of the culture, isn't it? And that would be a real detriment or an impediment in the ultimate performance of the organization. Have you found that in your travels?
Yes. Oh, yes. That culture, as people say, eats strategy for breakfast.
Mm.
So, and culture is often unconscious. It's the unsaid way things get done.
Yeah.
Underneath the maybe artifacts or the words printed on walls, it's how things really happen, and what is done, not what is said. And if it creates an environment that's not safe, then you're moving most people into reactive states,
yeah,
to protect, to comply, or to take control where they can.
Yeah.
And that doesn't lead to the best outcomes. That sometimes leads to the lowest common denominator of what can occur.
Yeah, or the loudest.
And it leads leads to polarization.
Yeah.
And then things can fall apart quickly.
Yep. And then as you were speaking, I was thinking about a couple of meetings that I've attended in my 30-year corporate career, and you know, the loudest person wins, and you know, things like that. The person that's most aggressive will win whatever, but then there's no commitment to the actions. There is just some really horrible cultures out there, and hopefully leaders embrace what work that you do so that they can create a collective culture. So Tom, who's been the inspiration for you in your journey?
Well, a couple of people I'd call out. One, my grandfather, that taught me how to do things and then trusted me to go make them happen when I was 12, 13 years old. He'd leave the 40-acre avocado farm and leave me to do the irrigating and take care of things while he took care of business in town. It was also Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard and all the leaders I learned with within the organization about how do you create a culture that can last. And it did. And then it got challenged as CEO transitions occurred. So I learned a lot from them. I also learned from a lot of thinkers about adult development and leadership development of how do we make this transition in from reactive ways of operating unconsciously to creative ways of consciously, courageously leading to create a better outcome, not just for ourselves, but for those around us and the communities and cultures we serve.
Yeah, it's a real responsibility, I think, with leaders, isn't it, that they should be really working hard to create a culture and an environment where their people can thrive, their team can thrive, and they enjoy coming to work. They get satisfaction out of their results. And, you know, one of the biggest things that we continue to see with people is that they really want to be trusted. Like your story with your grandfather, they want to be trusted to do the job. And they don't want a leader that's looking over their shoulder every step of the way, or they want someone that if they've got a problem or that they're going to provide some updates to. But that whole trust to get the job done is something that many leaders just underrate. And it once again, it's an inhibitor of performance within teams and within organizations. And it's a real shame. And that's a real shift in mindset that leaders should be thinking. People don't go out to do a bad job. They actually want to do a good job. And often it's the environment that's creating the not optimum performance that sometimes we see. So Tom, what about...
So there's a flip.
Yeah.
There's a flip on that, I think, from... we often say trust needs to be earned.
Mm.
And I'd offer that it starts by trust being given.
Yeah. 100%. And it's interesting, Tom. During my time, I've worked with a lot of leaders, and when we talk about the concept of trust, it's almost like some of them want this shortcut. Okay, how do I build trust with my team? Give me the things I need to do. And I'll always start with a very simple concept, is that if you want to build trust, you have to be trustworthy, or you have to be trusting. And it's almost like... it's a dagger to the heart for some leaders saying, what? I've got to be trustworthy, you know? And that's where it all starts, to be trustworthy yourself and to be trusting in your team. It's something that is the real foundation between providing trust. So I agree once again 100% with what you just said. It's just so imperative that sometimes we've got to give trust before it's earned and just... see what develops, and often we'll be immensely surprised by the great result that comes through. Let's talk a little bit about failure. How do you respond and react, and what's your relationship with failure?
Well, I've come to think of failure as a way of learning.
Makes
so
sense.
For me, I've beaten myself up a lot in my life for failure. Things that didn't work. And one of the reasons I chose to leave HP when I did was I felt like I had stopped learning. And that to me was, I was getting stuck. I didn't know how to deal with certain situations the way I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I was having some challenges. One of my younger son, a youngest son, stopped out of high school. And so something wasn't working. And I needed to be home and present more. Mm. And so it was a real opportunity for me to look at myself and say, well, what is it I care about?
Yeah.
And how can I learn? And what can I do new and differently? How do I need to evolve my own way of leading and what I do to make a difference both for my son and my wife and the rest of our family, as well as for the communities around me, and continue to be involved in how we grow as leaders.
Yeah, yeah. So real learning opportunities, and that ability, once again, to be able to be honestly self-reflective is critical, yeah, in that. And being able to see when things aren't necessarily working within ourselves and make those choices. Let's talk a little bit about vision. What's the vision that you have for what it is that you do with generative leadership?
Yeah, my vision is working with leaders and their teams to help them generate collective leadership mastery for their organization and their business. It's a learning process. It's a lifelong learning process that we can travel. And just helping leaders and teams do that together is a real joy. I learn by doing that.
Yeah.
I help them learn. They help their teams and organization. And that's a great pleasure.
Absolutely. It sounds awesome. How can people connect with you, Tom?
Yeah, you can reach me either through LinkedIn, Tom Hardison, and on LinkedIn, my website, generativeleadershipgroup.com, or email me, tom@generativeleadershipgroup.com.
Excellent, excellent. Tom, it's been a real pleasure having you on the Today's Leader podcast. Thank you so much for investing in Today's Leaders.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you for your thoughtful insights and our conversation today.
If you're looking to build better leadership skills, check out the Today's Leader website at todaysleader.com.au. We really are driving a leadership revolution to build tomorrow's best leaders today. Today's Leader is a collective, the mindset to make a difference, the ability to create an impact. Think and Grow Business hosts our Today's Leader Mastermind, Think and Grow Business, where we focus on personal, professional, and business growth. Book your free 30-minute discovery call right from the homepage at thinkandgrowbusiness.com.au. Don't forget, wherever you are standing stronger, braver, and wiser. Don't forget the golden rule. Don't be an arsehole. I'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.